bit of experience of some people in the scriptures that God used when they were very, very young. I'm saying this because I want them to have faith in Christ, but more for us to have faith in the children and the reason why we are doing things like this. It is very easy for us to think that maybe when we do things like this, it might be a waste of time, or maybe the way they dress or the way they have come up here dressed, amen, might not be in ways that we think it should be as a Christian. But please, I want you to look deep into the heart, because God starts from the inside first before he works on the outside. Praise the Lord. But one thing I can say about their age is that even though I was not born again, my parents didn't know Christ, nobody in the family knew Christ, but one thing is that I went to a Methodist school. And in that school, I remember, not Methodist as it was today, then Methodist school that we go, by the time we are entering into school, at the front, you will pass through the church before you get the school, the Methodist church. You'll be seeing the mother. I can still remember the place will be full, early morning prayer. We'll walk past the early morning prayer, and we have a place where we have to do as students then. So one of the Methodist church was on fire then, with what I knew when we were young. I can see them doing that, but I remember them shouting. I remember some of them, we'll be seeing some of them on the floor, but we didn't know. We'll just get no children now, just laugh, look at them, you know. But now I'm beginning to see that what they were experiencing was a move of God then. But one thing I knew, that though we were not Christians, every single thing we saw with our eyes, we heard with our ears, stayed with us. And I can still remember, those are the things that put the fear of God in us and never left us until we gave our life to Christ. Amen. And remember, they will never force you to give your life to Christ then, but they will make sure they point you to Jesus. You have to be in early morning assembly. You have to, it's compulsory, you'll be in religious studies, Bible studies that you would do with us, and they do all these things, but they never talk about being born again. But yet, something was in our heart that drew us. And if I look back, many of the people that I knew that in that generation that went to such schools, that I still know as friends today, all of them, there's none that is not born again, not even one. Not only born again, all in ministry. So it is a very powerful thing. I'm saying this because what we are doing here, we might not know the impact. Amen. But it is serious. It is so serious. And what I want to leave with us today is that as we live here, I just want to leave something with us as parents. We should continue in what is being deposited, not only in the youth, but even in the children that are here with us. If you notice, every single move of God in the Bible, when people depart away from God, if you notice, majority of the time, God always uses young people to bring Israel back. There was a time that Israel was so backsliding, they couldn't fight. When nobody could fight Goliath, God had to look for a little boy, David, so small. David was the one that God used to bring back revival. Is it Jeremiah? Jeremiah was called at the age of 17, very, very young. Is it Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were young men under 17. They were very, very young that God used. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that is what I just want to share something. But I've taken the example of Daniel today because Daniel is a good example of the days we are living. If I use David, he might not fit in very well because David was in Israel. But Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, they were very young men, just the same age as these young people. They were living in a land of captivity whereby there was nothing around that place that is talking about God. They were totally surrounded by darkness and nothing of God. But yet, as young men, they stood and took their integrity for the Lord. I will read this scripture towards Daniel chapter 1 very quickly. They stood and they hold on to their integrity for God. And what we are saying, if they can stand in those days, I want to tell you that our children too can stand, and they will stand. Praise the Lord. They can stand and they will stand. Praise the Lord. But the input of a parent goes a long way. It goes a long way. What a parent will do. Daniel chapter 1. From verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Sinah to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasury of the house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuch, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. Now, let's look at verse 4. Young men, everybody say young men. Young men in whom there is no blemish, but good looking. Everyone say good looking. Gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understanding, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacy and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among the sons of Judah was Daniel, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuch gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Azariah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacy, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuch. And the chief of the eunuch said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. Why should he see your face looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. These young men found themselves suddenly in slavery. Very, very young. They were in a land of captivity where God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was not mentioned. Number two, they chose these young men out, and they said they chose them out to teach them the literatures and the traditions of that land. They wanted to change their mindsets to the thinking of the people in that land. They separated them from among their people. You know, it's one thing to be in slavery, but if you are in slavery and you are still among your people, you still have something. But they took them out of their own people, brought them into the king's palace, young people, and began to imbibe and teach them the culture and the tradition of the people. Number three, they were also a minority in that king's palace, because they were only, the three of them were only the covenant people of God. The rest of the people were nobles, royalties in the land, and children that came from the people of the land. Praise the Lord. And as young people, let me tell you this, it is easier for them to feel different, to feel that they're going to be the odd ones out. Praise the Lord. To feel that they're going to be the odd ones out. Number two, they have a challenge also to be able to demonstrate that they are not non-entities, because they're going to be sitting exams with these children. Let me tell you this. The challenge before these young men was so great at a young age. Praise God. They were going to sit an exam. They were learning the culture of some people who had already grown up in that culture. The nobles and the young men, all these people were already in that land. And yet all these young men were brought to them. And so, but in the midst of this, you will thought that they will want to serve God or proclaim God maybe in the cool of the night while everybody is sleeping, but something was burning in the heart of this young man. Despite all this odd, they were so bold. Daniel was so bold in the midst of it to tell them that I am not willing, I cannot defy myself with the king's delicacy. In other words, I don't want to partake of what the king eats. Don't forget that their names have been changed as well. The name that God gave them in their land. By the time they got to this place, the king gave them the names according to his own God. Do you know what they were doing? They were trying to change their thinking pattern completely. And let me tell you, if those children could survive and maintain their mindset and keep their mindset renewed continually, always renewed according to God, even though their names were changed, their identities were changed, they were in the midst of everything that is not of Israel, but yet they could stand. The question I'm asking myself in my heart is that, what made them to stand? Are you getting me? What could make a child, young man, just around 17, 18, to be able to stand that pressure, not only that, to be willing to even give their life and to die for the cause of God? The reason why we are bringing this out is that if God could use children like that in the past, and we have children in the midst of darkness of this world, I can assure you, God wants to use our children that way. Because it is very easy for us to say they are children, it is still too young, let us not really, but I want to tell you this, with the reason why I believe there is only one reason why I believe these boys could really stand that pressure, that reason is only explained by God in Proverbs 22 verse 6. Train up a child while he's young. When he grows up, he will not depart from it. I believe it was mainly because of the training that they have received even before they found themselves as slaves in Babylon. Amen. I know that because if you go to Israel, what we are doing and saying small for our children, a typical Jewish boy at this age should be able to recite the Torah. Praise the Lord. Because what they do is that it's similar to what the Muslims do. It's very, very similar. Because they all come from the Middle East. Praise the Lord. And in the Middle East, they believe in reciting a lot. Amen. But if you look at the Muslims, they can sit a lot of children down and they'll be reciting something from the Quran over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Amen. If anybody has Muslim background and you've been to Islamic nursery schools and things like that, you see them sit on the floor, very, very little boys, and they'll be telling them, hey, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. They can say that for 100 times. And then they move to another thing. And they'll say it. The children didn't know what they are saying, but yet it is doing something in them. Praise the Lord. Are we understanding me? And I see Daniel, they have been exposed to that kind of training. It's that God has prepared them from home. There's something that God has been able to do in their heart through their fathers, through their parents, through the culture that they found themselves in. Praise the Lord. The word of God has had so much root in them to the point that by the time they got into another place, it was like a strange land to them. They were not used to it, and they were willing even to give their life and to die in the course of it. Amen. Daniel said, I'm not ready to partake of this food. And the Enoch said, look, young man, if I do this, you are putting my life on the line. And you know what he did? He said, let us put this God to test. Let me eat this food just for 1 week, 10 days. And after that, come and see how we look like. Young man, being able to say, okay, for you to have confidence, just give me vegetable and water and let's watch after 10 days and see if I look worse then. But if I look better, then praise the Lord. And if you read further, you'll find out that the man, okay, yielded to that request. And Bible says that by the time they were checked, they look stronger, they look more handsome, even better than those who partook of the king's delicacy. What is that? They were so strong in the world to the point that they even have trust in God. Are you understanding me? They trust that God, would actually support them and defend them in the thing. You know why? Because their hearts were right to God. He wasn't unwilling to eat the food because of himself, but it was because of the Lord God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I'm not willing to defy myself, and I'll not partake of the king's delicacy. Praise the Lord. And I believe that what God is trying to say to us as parents, as guardians, even with our own self, is that what are we doing? Can we say that our children have reached that level? Or even if we can't say it, are we really training our children in the way of the Lord? In a way in which if we are not there, those things will still continue in their heart. Now, physically in this land, our children might not physically be given food, because everything physical in the Old Testament is spiritual today. Amen. But on the spiritual dimension, the food, the king's delicacy, is the worldliness that we have today. The things that the world feed on. Amen. The things they feed on, the things that actually give them comfort. Praise the Lord. Which mainly, the avenue of feeding, I believe today, is most especially 90% from the television, the media. Praise the Lord. It's from the media. Praise God. Hallelujah. If these children were fed or have not been feeding on Jehovah before, they would not have been able to stand. But not only that, I don't have time to go through the whole book, but it is these children that God used to even bring deliverance to Israel in that land. And not only that, it was these same young people that God used even to honor his name over Babylon. Because of these young men, as stubborn as Nebuchadnezzar was, it got to a point Nebuchadnezzar said, let everybody worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Young men under 20. Doing things and fulfilling purpose at 20. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I found out that the real secret thing is what they have been trained with right from their youth. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the challenge we have today is that we are living in a competitive world. We are living in a very busy world. We are living in a world in which the definition of what a person is about what he possesses. And many times we are preparing our children even to live their lives by what they possess. We are preparing our children and teaching them that it is what you have that determines who you are. Praise the Lord. Are you getting me? But God wants us to prepare them in that it is not in what they have, it is who they are, is about who is their God. Praise the Lord. What makes a person is who is your God. What makes somebody in life is that what are you connected to in the realms of the spirit. Praise the Lord. And that is one of the reasons why we will continue to encourage things like this. And want to encourage our parents also to keep continuing in our homes. Praise the Lord. In our homes, sharing the word. In our homes, playing the word. It doesn't matter how old or how young a child is. A child is a child and they can still change with the word of God. Praise the Lord. And that is what I want to encourage today, that we need to begin to root them and begin to get them rooted in the word of God. Thank God for the days we are living in today. You know, today we have so many things to help us. We have Bible on CD. There is one we have in our home, scriptures that is acted from Genesis to Revelation, that is acted, that you can just watch. Not only that, you have them in, what's it called, animations that children can identify with. Amen. You have the animated book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all of them in all these cartoons, animation, they all are available. Praise the Lord. We have the speaking Bible, all these things. Praise God. And I want to encourage parents to live here today. I want to encourage you to determine in your heart. God said something to us last week. I wasn't expecting it, but God said, call all the children outside and lay hands and anoint them with oil and pray for them, which we did. Amen. And this week, we are hearing from the youth again. And I want to challenge us today. I mean, we had the testimony of Nick. I mean, what would it be like? Even Nick at his age, if God could use him. And I believe God wants to do that, and God will do that even through these young ones, as young as they are. Do you know the youngest king? Do you know how old the youngest king in Israel was? The youngest, do you know how old? 8 years. Eight. There was a boy that became king in Israel at the age of 8. They had to carry him in the book of 2 Kings. They carried him on his throne. He became king at 8. Praise the Lord. And God appointed him. And Bible says he did everything according to the will of God. He was from the lineage of David. 8. Could you believe that? Praise the Lord. And so what we are looking at, we are looking at the strength of our youths. Amen. And I'm saying that though they might be in school, though things might be dark, though things might look bad in the world, but let me tell you this. An example, if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could not, they not only survive, but they conquered that whole nation. It wasn't that they were trying to survive and keep their faith. They expressed it and conquered and brought the entire nation down to their knees. Praise the Lord. Imagine 20-year-olds, 17, saying, the president said, let everybody bow down to the idol. Once a trumpet will be sound, let everyone bow down to an idol, because that is what Nebuchadnezzar did. And this young man, as 8 or 20, said, we will not bow down to your idol, Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar must have looked at them and said, look, who are you? And they said, if you don't bow down, we will cast you into the furnace fire. And look at this 20-year-old saying, we are ready. That even if God will not save us, we are still ready to go. No, put it. Don't look at, many times we have a vision of an old. No, they were not old. These were activities done between the age of 17 to 25. They were very young in these times. Praise the Lord. And they saw the fiery furnace. And they were still going. A 20-year-old. They have not even begun their life yet. But yet, they have been consummated with something of God. They have been constituted with something of God. To the point that they even went into the fire. And on getting there, they found the fourth man. Called Jesus Christ. Amen. They didn't know he was Jesus. But that was Christ. That was the Lord with them. And they experienced the power of the fire not touching them. Praise God. Can we say that God cannot use our children? No, that would be a lie. Can we say our children are too young? No, that would be a lie. They are not too young. In fact, they might even be overdue. Because one thing God was telling me last week and I picked up was that God said he was going to begin to call some of our children like he called Samuel. And that some of them will be hearing his voice, but they might not understand. And guess who will explain to them the voice of the Lord? Mom and Dad. Praise the Lord. Because you are the first point of contact. Train up in a way a child in the way that he should go. Who is the number one trainer that a child will ever be trained by? Mom and Dad. Not even the pastor, not even Sister Genius, not even the Sunday school. The first trainer they will ever know is their parents. Praise the Lord. And I want to give you a key to help you. Let us begin to play scriptures in their rooms when they are sleeping. Play the scriptures, let it play while they are sleeping, and let it continually go into their spirit. Do you know when you sleep, it is only your body that sleeps. Your spirit does not need rest. It is your body that needs rest. When your body sleeps, your spirit is alive. And one thing that when you sleep, you know, when you are awake, because your body is involved in activities, it takes over. It doesn't allow the spirit to move very well. You don't hear the spirit. But once your body is sleeping, it is redundant. It is not active. So your spirit is more active then. So when you are praying the scriptures, your spirit is active, is in charge. Their spirit takes it in wire. It takes it in, unknown to them, I'm telling you. It takes it and soaks it all in. By the time they grow up, they begin to be 17, you will be amazed of what will be coming out of them. There are some things they will not be able to do. They will not know why they are not able to do it. They just know it is not good, but it is because of the word that has managed to be projected into their spirit. Praise God. And that is what I believe it has been so helpful for myself. In the night, just play it and leave it on. And let it go into their spirit. Don't put on all this MOT, all this music. Praise the Lord. Are we hearing me? Number two, surround them with godly friends. Let them know. You see, it is the kind of friends they see with us that they will use as an example of people they need to mix with. Are we listening to me? The kind of people my children see around me will determine and get them to define and have a clue of the kind of people they should have. And that is why we need to bring them into the house of the Lord. That is why we need to surround them with Christian families. Praise the Lord. That's why we need to surround them with Christian mates. But more so, once the parent is rooted, you find out that the children grow with the consciousness of God. There are things you don't need to teach them that God will teach them as you expose them into godly fellowships. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. So that is the second thing. Number one, use the advent, the media. Use the technology. Play it in there. Let them sleep with Bible on and let them wake with Bible on. Let them know relationship, Christian relationships. Get them into Christian relationship by you getting into Christian relationship. You don't know what has happened to these children since the day you begin to bring them consistently to the house of the Lord. Only future will show you what God has been doing in them. Hallelujah. Are you understanding me? My dad and my mom, they will take glory for some things that came out of my life. But deep when I got born again, I knew a lot went down to my primary school. Praise the Lord. A lot went down there. They want to punish you. They will say, now read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, but it's different now. You can't do it now. But those days, the Lord is my shepherd. As you are wasting time, something is hitting your leg. The Lord, praise the Lord. Something is hitting your leg. You have to recite it by force. Praise the Lord. Now, we were doing it because we want to get out of punishment. But yet, ask me, the Lord is my shepherd. Even before I got born again, I knew it. It wasn't new to me. Praise the Lord. Are we hearing me? So that is the key thing we have to do. Get them around. Teach them. And let's begin to let them realize that God's people should be their people. Praise the Lord. Number three, get them into prayer. Get them into prayer. And I've noticed the best way to teach a child to pray is for you to pray. You can never sit a child down and say, if you want to pray, pray like this. You will bore him. In fact, they will hate prayer like that. The best to teach them is that let them see you pray every day. Once they see you pray, it will begin to rub upon them. Are you hearing me? Teach them to pray by you praying. Let them know that communication to God is so important. Amen. Hallelujah. They might start watching, but after some time, they'll begin to sense that, my dad used to do this. My mom used to do that. And lastly, I will say this, impart them by laying on of hands. We lay hands upon them. We speak over their lives, life and death and the power of the tongue. Let me give you why that is so important. The person who has the highest authority over a child is God. the next person whose authority is higher over them is their father, is their dad. That is why Satan wants daddies out of home. Let me tell you, go into the Bible. Apart from God, the next people that put blessing of destiny upon children are always their dad, the father. And the father always bless them because they have heard from God what the child should be. Not that my child, I pray that you eat well. You eat well. No, that is not good. That is not good. The thing is, when that child was born, what did God said about his life? That is what fathers in the scripture sit down and they say, my son, come here. And put hands and proclaim what they have heard from God and declare it over the child. Are we understanding me? This is why this one is going more to the fathers. I believe, you go and watch, once a father is around and is blessed, it is very hard for a child to go haywire because the authority of a father is very powerful. Let me tell you, if your child goes out to school, you don't know what the teachers are saying over their life. Sometimes when these children do tests and they don't do well, the teachers will say, oh, you can't even make it, you can't do well. You better go to the, that's what they say. Are you understanding me? Sometimes when they go among their friends, they make funny jokes. And this thing gets into their heart. But when they come home and daddy lay hands and say, I declare the blessing of God upon you, my child. You are the head and not the tail. And any word that has been spoken to you that is against the word of my God as I heard him speak concerning your life, I break it. You know, your word superimposes every word of every human being upon this earth. Over that child, let me tell you, a father's word over a child is like God's word over him. There is no power on earth apart from the power of God that can prevail over the child more than the father. Amen. That is why people can blame, people can say anything, but what the dad says in the house, very, very important. Praise the Lord. And that is why the mothers have to use their power of influence to make sure that the children are obeying the father, what the father says, so that the father will always from his heart bless them well. Some mothers, they provoke their fathers. They provoke the children. Daddy says A, they'll make the children do B. So the father is grieved inside. Grieve with the children, grieve with the mother. Whereas he's the authority carrier. Praise the Lord. The authority of a father is so strong. And we need to begin to take advantage of it. And I want to encourage mothers here. Encourage your husband. Remind them to lay hands and bless these children. Speak to them weekly, daily. It is well with you. Even it is well with you. You are the head and not the tail. Are you getting me? You activate over them, all your brain cells are declare it active. When they are speaking in your school, let your brain receive everything. You are not below, you are above. You will understand what they are teaching you. The child might look at you and say, hey, it's hard. Don't worry, you go there, it will happen. The brains will respond to the word of the father and get active quickly because they have to be on top. Praise the Lord. And I want to comfort for those who might say, oh, their fathers are not around, they are far off. That's no problem. Once their fathers are around, there's something that God does. He transfers grace. And you as a mother can lay hands upon them and pray over them. And anytime you come to church, you bring them to an elder, a man in the church, a pastor, and let him lay hands and pray over them and speak over them. Praise the Lord. John Wesley's mother has so many children, about 12. All of them did well and they were all in ministry. You know what she did? She would sit down and cover herself. All the children, all running about, and she'll be praying and speaking blessing over all of them as they were there. Speaking blessing over them. Mother, woman, 12 children. I don't know where she got the strength from. And all of them, the hand of God came. None of them. They said they could not even go away from the Lord. Because our mother is as she sealed us in the spirit. She will speak over them. Praise the Lord. Why? She had a revelation. Praise God. Amen. I'm just going to read the scripture and end with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, very quickly. Don't bow down to this pressure of mammon. We have to make money. Let us believe God. Some fathers have been long since they've come to church with their children. Why? Because they have to work on Sundays. We will believe God for a change. Verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. This is a key of hope to every one of us. If nothing, you can be using this to declare over them. He said, for the unbelieving husband is what? Sanctified by the wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children will be unclean. But now, everybody say, but now. Yeah, he's talking about now. They are what? Holy. In other words, that is to tell you how much God loves children. Because of a child, God says if a husband is born again and the wife is not born again, or if wife is born again and the husband is not born again, what God will do that spiritually, God will use the born again one to sanctify the one who is not born again. I get him to separate him. Why? Because of the child. God will use his covenant with the born-again wife or husband to sanctify the other partner for the sake of the child. He said, because God said, if he doesn't do that, the child will be unclean. He said, but because of his intervention, the child will be clean and the child is now holy. So don't say, my husband is not born again. Or this one, no, And the other thing is that if God can... because of a child, sanctify one unbeliever. How most of you here, you are husbands and wives, born again, believing husbands, believing wives. What does that tell you? Should tell you, shall give a good hope and a good confidence that your child has everything in him to be holy. And if your child has everything in him to be holy, they can stand in these last days. Not only stands, they can make a mark for Jesus Christ at this time. Amen. This, our youth have started. And I want to believe, and I believe in Jesus' name, that this is just the beginning. Hallelujah. They will start from little beginning. But let me tell you, watch them. By the grace of God, God will project them. And God will use them to be nation changers. How would you feel when that begins to happen and you watch your child? Would you not kneel down and give glory to God? Hallelujah. How would you feel, Nick? You see your daughter moving and shaking nations. Amen. And their duties, you give, lift up and give glory to God. Amen. Let us pay the price with them now. Let us do everything that we can do in our midst. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it was because of what they have been imparted with before they found themselves in slavery. What are we giving them today? Are we only giving them money, heaping up insurance for them, heaping up material things that even if they are not well trained how to use it after we go, they might misspend it and it will go. But if you give them God without any material things, they can end up having a million more than you. Amen. Amen. It has been known that every child that comes out of a true Christian family, even if the family doesn't do well material, the children always do beyond because they carry what is called generational blessing. Praise the Lord. So don't be too concerned about, oh, what are they going to eat? No, let your primary concern be, does this child know God? How much of God is in my child? Are you getting me? We go to Sister Janice and begin to seek advice and begin to work cooperatively on how to help, on how to do things, how to grow. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we found things. We are working cooperatively. Praise the Lord. As a fellowship, we can begin to bring the children to God. Say, Pastor, I want you to pray for this child. I'm noticing this and this and this. And we can begin to impart and do so much preparing them for the age to come. Father, we thank you and we give glory to your name. Father, we just appreciate you for the service of today. Thank you for this youth service. Thank you for